You have your Bible with you this morning. Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 11. A very familiar passage of Scripture. It says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Dedicated service to Him. I think all of us will recognize that dedicated service touches every department of our life. Whatever we do, dedication is involved. Service for Jesus Christ is as much an attitude of life as it is an activity of life. Whether it be what we would call full-time Christian service, or a regular secular job, or maybe a wife just caring for the home, all should be done to the glory of God. With equal efficiency and fervency, Scripture makes no difference or distinction between so-called full-time service and secular work, or even the distinction in the family. The distinction is an artificial one. The housewife doing her task in the home, taking care of the children, doing the dishes, polishing the brass, running the vacuum cleaner, all of those good things. It's as much a service to the Lord if it is done in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, there are three aspects this morning to dedicated service that I want to point out to you and draw your attention to. And the first is dedicated or determined service. The idea of a business here is better rendered, never let your zeal flag. Have you ever kind of been at a time when enthusiasm is down in your life? And you're kind of going through the motions, but there's no feeling. Well, this is what he's telling us here, is don't allow yourself to lose strength and to grow weak. Don't let your enthusiasm lag. Now, I don't know if you've been to any sports events. I'm sure you have. But the one thing that you can always count on, folks there, when their team does well, they're going to holler. In fact, when our team does well in the softball games, we holler. Now, a lot of them got injured, you know, because they thought in their minds that they could still do what they were doing at 20. But the old body said, no. But you know, we holler. We get out there on the sidelines, and you know, I kind of enjoy being on the sidelines. I can critique, I can holler, I can scream. Sometimes I want to holler at the umpire, but I zip my lip, you know. But there's enthusiasm, isn't there? And that's the way it ought to be in church. You know, we ought to be enthusiastic about what we're doing here for the cause of Christ. Brethren, we have a great task given to us. We've been mandated by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We're serving God. And so when you serve God with all your heart and soul, do it with enthusiasm. I enjoy coming to church. I enjoy the songs of Zion. I enjoy just doing what God's called me to do. It's not a task. It's not a chore. It's a joy. In other words, service for the Lord is not so much what you do, but how you do it. All of life is an arena in which we witness by our life and by our lips that He is Lord. That He is King of Kings in our life. And that we're glad to serve Him. Well, enthusiastic service. The purpose of our redemption is that we might be a purified people. We are a peculiar people. We're not oddballs. That's not what he's saying. But we are different from the world. We march to a different drumbeat than the world does. And folks ought to be able to look at us and read us as an epistle of Jesus Christ. Well, in verse 13 of chapter 12, it talks about the ultimate goal of what we're trying to do. It says, looking for that blessed hope. Now, what is that hope? That one day all inequalities will be adjusted. That one day all faithful service will be rewarded and all true Christian character will be revealed. Our prayer is that we might find mercy in the day of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't want justice. I want mercy. I want him to say, Carl, well done. And I know for him to say that, it will take mercy, not justice. The Lord, the day of the Lord, the Bible talks about it as his glorious appearing at the great God, of the great God, and of our Savior Jesus Christ. There's going to be a day when he actually splits the eastern sky. There's going to be a day when the angel of God will cry out, time will be no more. There will be a day when this world is rolled up like a scroll. Amen. There will be a day when the elements will burn with fervent heat. And there will be a day of manifestation for each of our lives. We'll be manifested. You know, I want to be consistent in my Christian life. I don't want to be one thing at church and another thing at home. I don't want to be one thing at church and another thing out in the world. Now, I've seen folks tell smutty jokes and say things they ought not to say. We as Christians don't do that. You know, we ought to say good things. We ought to say things that honor and glorify God. We ought to do our very best to make a difference for Christ because we are accountable unto him. When Saul of Tarsus was on the Damascus Road and he got saved that day, what was the first thing he said? Lord, what do you want me to do? I like that, don't you? Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm willing to do. And he did do. He wasn't just talking. He did the walking. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Remember when our Lord called his disciples together, he said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So the come of salvation and the call of service were married together in one sentence. You know what that tells us? That Jesus Christ, when he saves us, he's not only Savior, he is Lord of our life. And we're under orders. We're part of the army of God, and it's a great army. And it's not just Free Will Baptist, for which I'm thankful that it's not just us, few and no more. It's all of God's children. All over this land and country this morning. You see, we are a mighty army, but a lot of times we're ineffective because we don't go and do what he commands us to do. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go out to the highways and the byways, compel them to come in that my house may be full. Pray without ceasing. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You see, there are so many things that we, as his soldiers, are to do. Given a job to do, sometimes folks go about it as though it's boring and uninteresting. I'll do it, but don't you like to see folks get excited about what they're doing? You know, I played a lot of sports. And I'm going to tell you, it's a whole lot better to be a winner than it is to be a loser. It's a whole lot more exciting when you're on the winning side. You know, I can remember some good times, and I remember some bad times. And I always like the good times better than the bad times. Well, we as Christians, we ought to be excited about what we're doing. We all look forward to coming to church on Sunday. You know, I enjoy being here. I enjoy seeing you and talking with you, shaking your hand, and I enjoy worshiping together and praising God together and saying, Lord, we love you. We want to serve you with all of our heart. But you know, a lot of times in our Christian circles, you probably won't clap on this. Three kinds of people. They're the workers, the shirkers, and the jerkers. You know, in every church, you've got folks that's got their sleeves rolled up, and they're ready to go to work. I mean, if there's something to be done, you can look up, and they're there. And you know, it says in their statistics that bear this out, and I know it's not true of this church, but they say 20% of the congregation do 80% of the work. Well, they are called the church within the church. And without that group, most churches would struggle to survive. You know, I read some statistics yesterday. Something like 600 Southern Baptist churches are closing every year. And their pastors are leaving at an alarming rate. And I wish I could just say it was them, but it's not. It's Free Will Baptist too. You see, we're shutting churches. We had 265. In fact, we were close to even 300 at one time in Oklahoma, and we're down around 200 right now. That says we need to get up and go to work. And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? The Bible says that in the last days there will be a departure from the faith. We know that. And that evil will wax worse and worse. And that in the last days we're going to have troubled times. But you can go against the trend if you're willing to work at it. Why has this church been able to grow from a dozen people to what it is today? Because you've worked at it. You've worked at it. You've prayed. You've visited. You've invited. You've done what God told you to do. And God bless, He'll honor. I'm convinced He'll honor. If we'll do what He says do, He'll honor us and bless us. And we will accomplish what needs to be done. Then there's the shirkers. They're conspicuous by their absence when hard work comes up. That's all I'm going to say on that. Then they're the jerkers. And I know you wonder, now, what is a jerker? It's that individual that's full of enthusiasm when something special is going on. You have a revival and they talk it up. Oh, man, we're having revival at our place. Oh, you need to come. After revival's over, you don't see them. They're flat as a pancake. Well, workers, shirkers, jerkers, which are you? Well, there's also enduring determination, not slothful in business. Determination, not desire, controls our destiny. Some people never have a desire to do anything. But if you think that desire is going to get the job done, you're terribly wrong. You remember a fellow by the name of Benjamin Franklin? He invented a lot of things. But he said this when somebody asked him how he did it. He made the statement that I'm not the brightest man in the world, and I don't always have these ideas. But I take the ideas that other people have and don't finish. He said, I have determination to see it through. And that's what we need, determination. You know, we're not going to change the world overnight. But I'm telling you, if we work hard in 1 year's time, it will be amazing what we will see here in this church. It'll be amazing how many folks that we have won to the Lord, what a difference we've made in our community, in our town, if we are committed as a team. And we are a team. You know, that running back, and they've had Alex Collins, running back for the Razorbacks a number of years ago, and he was here to kind of challenge the young folk. And but he'd be the first to tell you. He plays for the Baltimore Ravens, I think, but he'd be willing to tell you that when on television they hand the ball off to him and he goes through the line and he makes a 30-yard touchdown. Now, he'd tell you, I didn't do it by myself, but there were 10 other guys out there, plus the coaching staff over there, and they made it all possible when everybody did their job. If somebody misses a block, no touchdown. But if everybody does their job, there's a touchdown, and there's victory. Well, I need to remind us that we're part of the team. God intends for us to do whatever our job is. And sometimes it might seem menial, and it might not seem like a whole lot that we're doing, but I can tell you that it's special. Well, talk about dynamic service, and I'm going to skip a point or two here. But the word fervent means boiling. My grandmother, you know, every morning she'd wake me up with that old tea kettle. It'd be on the stove, and after a while you'd hear it whistling because it was boiling. Steam had to get out. Well, we need that kind of boiling, dynamic service that we just got to get out of here. You know, come to church on Sunday, get some fuel, and get challenged. Get your directions, and then go out and make a difference for the cause of Christ. There are people out there that need what you've got to tell them. Folks are going to hell, literally. And we need to tell them about Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example. This is an individual telling a story. He said, while attending a university in London, Mahatma Gandhi became convinced that the Christian religion was the one true supernatural religion in the world. Upon graduation and still seeking evidence that would make him a committed Christian, Gandhi accepted employment in East Africa, living for 7 months in the home of a family who were members of an evangelical church. There he would find his place, and he would find the evidence he sought. But as the months passed by, he saw the casualness of their attitude towards the cause of Christ, heard their complaints when they were called upon to make sacrifice for the kingdom of God, and sensed their general religious apathy. Gandhi's interest turned to disappointment, and he said this, and I quote, "No, it is not the one true supernatural religion I had hoped to find." He said to himself, "A good religion, yes, but just one more of the many religions in the world." Now, what would you do if he came to your house for 7 months? What would be his impression of Christianity and the cause of Christ if he came to our house? Would he say it's the one true religion? that I've been searching for? Or would he see a casualness in our attitudes about the cause of Christ? One other illustration, then I will close. A tourist recalls the impression made on him as he was studying Poynter's great picture, Faithful Unto Death, which hung in the Walker Art Gallery in Liverpool, England. There stood the Roman guard on duty while the palace was falling into ruin during the destruction of Pompeii. The dead were lying in the background. Others were falling to the ground of the pavement amidst the red-hot eruption of Vesuvius. Everyone who could flee was fleeing for their life. The Roman guard might have been the same. He might have been able to escape. But there he stood like a marble statue, preferring to remain at his post, faithful unto death. Said the tourist, "The picture has haunted me ever since. Not simply the man standing at the post of duty, but the expression of faithfulness that showed in his countenance." He said, "I've thought of it 100 times, and I have felt its influence as I have felt that of a living person." You see, as a child of God, we're to be faithful unto death. Faithful unto death. At the end of our life, we're to cry out like our Savior, "I have finished the work which you have given me to do. I have finished the work." Paul said, "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith." Don't you want that to be your testimony? I'm telling you, I really believe that we're going to see the Lord real soon. And I don't know about you, but I say every day, "Lord, it's a good day for you to come. Even so, come quickly." Because he is going to come back, and we need to be ready to meet him. We need to occupy, do his work, do his bidding. Do it with enthusiasm. Be boiling hot for God until he says it's enough. Will you bow with me for prayer?